D-May Svingen and Donick 102.5, the game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will be joining us shortly. He's in Florida, the jerk. I'm sure the weather is great because it's not out there.
Unlike here.
That's right, but he's in Florida with the Predators, who take on the Panthers tonight at 6 p.m., pregame at 5, right here on 102.5, the game, which means a two-hour edition of D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick here for you. Vanderbilt tight end Eli Stowers will join us in roughly 20 minutes. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet will join us at 4 o'clock today to talk Predators and NHL. Derek, there is a word we have in the Vingen family for the weather out there today. Blookie.
Blookie?
I don't even know how to spell it. I don't know if it's two O's or a U, but blookie.
Okay.
It's gray. It's cold. Mm-hmm. It's wet. It's just a blookie day out there.
I can go with that. I can go with that.
Sometimes you have to invent words to describe something adequately. So it's blookie out
there
today.
When you have kids, it tends to happen more times than not when you start inventing words.
That is true. That is true. And as I said, we are going to have Eli Stowers, Vanderbilt tight end, in the next segment. But we are going to start today on the Commodores. And look, we've said our piece about Vanderbilt and the college football playoff. Y'all know where we stand on this. We had Clark Lee on the show yesterday, and he gave an impassioned defense of his team after the CFP committee ranked it 14th and effectively dashed the Commodores' hopes of competing for the national championship. But Lee and Vanderbilt administrators attempted to find a solution by trying to schedule a 13th game as a way to showcase the Commodores one more time. Unfortunately for Vanderbilt, there were too many logistical challenges. Vanderbilt gave a statement to OutKick's Trey Wallace. It reads, quote, "We explored the 13th game option for one reason. This team has earned the chance to keep fighting. Coach Lee has said he'll play anytime, anywhere, and our guys would have stepped on the field with a phone call's notice. The logistics and legislative constraints didn't make it possible, but nothing changes the truth. A 10-2 Vanderbilt team forged in the nation's toughest conference, finishing its best football in November, deserves a chance to compete for the championship," end quote. Nevertheless, Derek, I give Clark Lee and the university credit for thinking outside the box.
Hey, they are not leaving any stone unturned. I tell you that. And they have every right to choose to maneuver the way that they are. Now, they knew, realistically, nobody was going to schedule a 13th game. But I understand where they're coming from. It's like, listen, and it's honestly, it's not a bad thing, possibly. But, I mean, it's not going to come because eventually they're going to get a 16, so that will eliminate that. But then even 16 is going to run into a problem. But we'll deal with that whenever it comes up. But that is a good thought, but it's just, you know, the thought had no opportunity to come to fruition. I don't think anyone was going to schedule a 13th game. And then, okay, if you find a way to say that 13th game, who's going to play you? And where, like they said, where are they going to play?
Well, so I can answer some of those questions. Mm-hmm. From Aria Gerson of the Tennessean, quote, "Were Vanderbilt to schedule another game, it would be considered a regular season game because the Commodores did not qualify for the SEC championship game. NCAA rules allow a team to play a 13th regular season game only if one of the team's games is played in Alaska or Hawaii. Thus, the 13th game would have had to be in one of those locations. Teams would have to travel to Alaska or Hawaii on short notice and pay to make the trip without getting ticket revenue from a home game. That's if another opponent even agreed to play Vanderbilt. Miami and Utah, two other teams ranked just outside the top 10 of the latest CFP rankings, are the only two opponents that would likely move the needle for the committee were the Commodores to win. So they'd have to go to Alaska or Hawaii. I would choose Hawaii, personally. Yeah. No disrespect to our listeners out in Juneau or Fairbanks, but I would choose Hawaii. But I can understand why it would be a logistical nightmare to make this work.
Yeah, and again, I understand, and I get it. You want to make sure that you travel down every you know, possible roads you can to try to get people to recognize, you know, your team and their accomplishments, playing in the best conference in the U.S. So they knew it was probably more than likely a long shot, but you throw that out there and then it gets picked up by other people, and maybe, just maybe, it influences somebody, because ultimately that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to influence the committee by your play, and I thought that Vandy did just that, especially the last, you know, 4 weeks of the season, where Diego really solidified himself as, if not the best college football player, or, you know, if not the best, he's a top two or three. And I'm not just talking about the quarterback. I'm saying college football player, period. So, you know, they're going to try to do everything. But, I mean, point is, unfortunately for Vandy, I think it's one of those deals where they're going to have to show it again to the committee, and maybe, just maybe, because you just understand, what did we hear? What was this? This was about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, Nick Saban. And when Nick said, people laughed at it when Nick said it, but that is a powerful voice in the world of college football. Hell, in the world of coaching, period. That is one powerful voice. And when that power, and I know he came back weeks later and was like, yeah, I'm a, you know, Vandy. But when that powerful voice says what he said, like, it's hard for me to think of this new Vandy and not, you know, be succumbed with all of these old images of Vandy. And I'm sure that's what the committee was fighting themselves with. The old Vandy for decades compared to the new Vandy. Now, I'm sure committee members looked at it like, and they just couldn't reconcile it. They couldn't, for whatever, and that's unfair. Judge the team based on where they're at today, not based on what their program hasn't done. And I think Vandy fell into that sort of bowl this year.
Diego Pavia did his part by tweeting at the president, asking for an executive order to expand the college football playoff to 16
teams. See, he's desperate. That's desperate. That's desperate measures right there.
Hey, you can't knock a guy for trying.
I said they're desperate. They're turning over every rock they possibly can. I mean, he's going to go to Supreme Court next?
I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know. What is he going to do? But again, I get it. I understand it. I'm sure if I was in that locker room, I would feel the same way. Like, what is it that what else do we need to do to get people to recognize us?
Well, you can ask Eli Stowers that in just a matter of moments. Do we need a wild card weekend in the college football playoff?
That would be nice. But wild card weekend is basically 16 teams when they decide they want to do that. And maybe they get to the 16 faster than what they probably thought, because of situations like this.
Hey, again, I commend Vanderbilt for doing whatever it can to try to make its case for the college football playoff. Unfortunately, that 13th game wasn't possible, although an impromptu trip to Hawaii does sound nice.
Yeah.
And we are the flagship station, so maybe we could have tagged along. I don't know. I would prefer Hawaii to Alaska, as I just said. No disrespect to any Alaskans who listen to us. I've heard wonderful things about the state of Alaska. Never been to Alaska. Nevertheless, we will catch up with Eli Stowers, and we'll ask him all of those questions in just a few minutes. But, Derek, we have made it to Thursday, having barely discussed the Titans. And quite frankly, it's been pretty nice. The Titans' loss to the Jaguars last weekend was an abomination. When I am on my deathbed, I will tell God I deserve three more hours on earth because I was forced to watch the Titans lose 25-3 to the Jaguars in some random game in 2025. But at least we have an interesting subplot this Sunday when the Titans play the Cleveland Browns. Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders. Ward's rookie season has been disappointing, so I can only imagine what the reaction will be if Sanders, who I will remind you was the 144th overall pick in the draft, outduels Ward on Sunday. Sanders has struggled since taking over as the Browns' 42nd starting quarterback since the franchise returned to Cleveland in 1999, completing roughly 50% of his passes. But I can tell you now that none of that will matter to the anti-Cam crew if the Titans lose Sunday, which, to be honest, they probably will. If you think it's blooky out here today, look at the forecast for Cleveland on Sunday. And there's this whole Myles Garrett thing, too, which we will discuss at some point. I mean, it's in the Titans' best interest to lose, to stay at the top of the draft order. But anyway, Derek, you've watched Shedeur Sanders' starts. What have you seen from him so far?
I think, again, it's been a rookie. It's been rough for him at times. And at times, it's been pretty good. I think he and Gabriel are in the same situation that Cam Ward is. Cam Ward is in. The only difference is they have a number one or number two overall defense, meaning the Cleveland Browns, and they got Myles Garrett. On the other side, the Titans' defense is improving, but they still lack, you know, playmakers outside of Jeffrey Simmons. And they got some young guys that are coming on, Cedric Gray, guys like that. But when you start to compare them to the Browns' defense, it's not even close. With the star power and just how they dominate from that aspect. So that's the only thing that I think is different. You know, other than the whole situation that Gabriel and Shedeur was in back and forth, and finally he gets an opportunity to start and he don't have any reps with the first team, first team unit when he gets in the first time. It's just a whole bunch of stuff going on. But, I think both of these quarterbacks have an opportunity to continue to develop. Again, Shedeur has looked good at times, and he's looked really bad at other times. But he doesn't have, like Cam, he doesn't have, you know, enough playmakers around him. They have Judy, who's pretty good, but, you know, you need more playmakers around you. And neither one of those guys have enough. Frankly, Cam doesn't have, and if he, the young talent that he does have, you know, the talent he does have is young. It will be interesting to see how this game goes. It's going to be hell on Cam Ward. I just tell you that right now. I don't know how. Watching that Browns defense, it amazes me that Myles Garrett doesn't already have like 40 sacks.
The man has 19 sacks in 12 games.
He's unstoppable. Like, he is literally unstoppable. I've seen Reggie White. I watched Reggie White playing. Reggie White was damn good. I mean, goodness. Up close and personal, watch the guy. There's just something different about Myles Garrett. It's just, and I don't know if the Titans got enough blockers to match up with Myles Garrett. And the problem is, and we've talked about this, J.C. Latham. He's Moore's not playing the way we thought he was going to play, and J.C. just looks bad.
And Moore is quite familiar
with
Myles Garrett from his time in Pittsburgh, and I can't imagine that went well. So we'll see what happens. Myles Garrett needs 3.5 sacks to tie the NFL single-season record held by Michael Strahan and T.J. Watt. Myles Garrett by himself, Derek, has more sacks than 3 NFL teams this season. He has more sacks than the Panthers, the Bengals, and the 49ers. Not combined, individually, those individual teams. He has more sacks than those three teams have. It's absolutely, absolutely insane. One texter about the college football playoff. Do we think the committee is making decisions like this to push their want for 16, like causing a ruckus to get everyone on board for that change? They are the ones making these decisions. That's from Tim in Spring Hill. And David shared an interesting clip with us from Nicole Auerbach, who covers college football. And she said, quote, "The best way to think about the CFP rankings is that this is a group of people that decides which teams they like, and then they retroactively come up with reasons for each of them. Tuesday night was a breaking point. We've got to stop pretending this charade is real," end quote. It's a nice idea, Tim. Based on what I've heard from the committee, I don't think they're intelligent enough to pull off that sort of scheme. Based on what I heard from Hunter Yurecek, and Willie's not on the show right now, so I can say that name without somebody yelling at me. But based on what Hunter Yurecek said the other day about how Well, Vanderbilt doesn't have a signature win because Tennessee fell out of the rankings. Well, duh. Because they fell out of the rankings because Vanderbilt went to Neyland Stadium and laid the smackdown on the Vols. But we don't want to open any – we don't want to pick at any scabs, open any wounds. Willie's not here, but I know it's still a sensitive subject for Willie. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Vanderbilt tight end Eli Stowers will join us. We'll ask him about this 13th game that the Commodores tried to play. We'll ask him about the win at Tennessee, his longtime friend and teammate Diego Pavia, and his Heisman Trophy case. We'll talk to him about some awards that he's up for as the nation's best tight end. We'll talk about all of that with Eli Stowers coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our show will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. The matchup, Eagles-Chargers. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. We are brought to you by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. We are efforting Vanderbilt tight end Eli Stowers. As soon as he joins us, we will bring him in live. Let's go to your texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend Hair Metal Henry says, so beating the number 10 team in the country, the number 15th team in the country, and the 19th team in the country are not considered signature wins, then what the hell do we have ranking systems for? I mean, I hear what you're saying, Henry. We've covered this from every angle. We're sort of at a loss for words here on how to describe the fate of the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah, again, it's unfortunate that, you know, Vanderbilt is in this situation. But again, it's when they made that first initial ranking, I knew it was going to be hard for Vanderbilt to get into a position. And they did everything they were supposed to do. So kudos to them. I believe
we're about to have Eli Stowers. Yes, we do. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt Commodores tight end Eli Stowers. Eli, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you. So we started the show today discussing your team's attempt to play a 13th game as a way to showcase yourselves one more time. We had your coach on the show yesterday. He said that he told y'all to have your bags packed because if a team calls and wants to play, we're getting on a plane. What did you think when you heard that?
Man, not only me, but the whole team was behind it. I mean, we know that we're good enough to play in the playoffs and go compete for a national championship. And Coach Lee just wanted us to have a chance to prove it to somebody. And we didn't know if it was going to happen, but he said, hey, I put it out there, and so y'all just be ready for it if it does.
Eli, let's go back to Saturday, a huge win for your team at Neyland Stadium, an incredibly tough place to play. To have that sort of performance on the road in a rivalry game to wrap up the regular season, what did that mean to you and your teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it was a blessing, man. It was an amazing way to cap off the season that we had, and, you know, it was just a great opportunity to go and play our last regular season game against our rivals with our brothers and this team that we put together. I mean, there's so much love between us and our brothers and our coaches. And for us to go out there and put on a performance like that, you know, it was a blessing to be able to do that.
Eli, I know that you and your teammates, your coaches, are disappointed by the rankings in the College Football Playoff Committee's eyes. And how do you square that disappointment? Because, of course, as you said before, you feel like you're good enough to compete for the national title. So how do you square that disappointment with also all of the accomplishments, all of the milestones that this group has accomplished in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just have to look at it in a way of like, you know, we did what we could do this season. And for them, it's up to the committee to decide whether they think we should be in the playoffs or not. But that doesn't take away from, you know, the amazing season that we had this year. You know, I think, honestly, that if we could have gotten those two games back that we dropped, then, you know, if we could have won one of those games and then not given the committee even a chance to leave us out. But, you know, at the end of the day, we had a really good season. You know, we exceeded expectations, and it was a blessing to be a part of it. And at the end of the day, whether we get in is not up to us. So
Vanderbilt tight end Eli Stowers is with us. Eli, of course, you go back a long way with Diego Pavia. Depending on which sports book you look at, he is the betting favorite or one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy. What separates Diego from the other top candidates for the Heisman Trophy in your eyes?
I mean, he's just dynamic. You know, I think you go out there and people want to watch him play because he's so exciting to watch. You know, he goes out there and he makes plays that people realistically just don't make in the game of football. You know, it takes a special player to make some of the plays that he makes in terms of extending plays, making somebody miss, throwing a ridiculous deep ball down the field right on the money. You know, he just does things that a Heisman Trophy winner is worthy of and that makes him worthy of a Heisman Trophy winner, to be a Heisman Trophy winner. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, he's the best player in college football, and that's what that trophy is supposed to be for. So he should win it.
I think, Eli, I think a lot of people here in Nashville would echo what you just said about Diego, because he has been just outstanding for you guys this season. And he set the tone, and you guys, you know, battle with him each and every week. So kudos to you and your team, you know, for what you guys have accomplished this season. It's not over yet. I know you got another game left, but you guys accomplished a lot. And with that being said, you have a very interesting background. And I know the last time we had you on, we talked about it a little bit, being one of the top recruits, going to A&M, I believe it was. You're getting injured, having to deal with injuries. Then you battle with a guy that ends up being a really good friend of yours in Diego. You move to tight end, you come here, and you excel. So what has this, going through all of that, what has these last 2 years meant to you?
Honestly, man, I look back on that whole journey and, you know, it helped me grow in my faith in God so much more. You know, I look back on it, I'm like, all of that has to do with God's plan in my life. That none of that would have happened if it was just, I mean, my plan was to go to college and be a quarterback and, you know, excel in the SEC and go to the NFL to play quarterback. You know, that I had no intentions of doing anything else. And, you know, God had other plans, and I, you know, didn't necessarily understand what was going on for a while, but, you know, he pushed me to where I needed to be. He made things happen. You know, I look back on those injuries, and they were tough for when they happened at A&M, but I look back on them now, and, you know, that was God shepherding me and to where he wanted me to be at. So, you know, I just praise God for that. You know, it has really nothing to do with anything I did, or, you know, and I also thank the coaches, like Coach Beck and Coach Kill at New Mexico State, for giving me the opportunity to, you know, get on the field at a different position and kind of move me and transition me to that tight end position, because without them being open to do that, then I wouldn't be here either. So, I mean, it was a lot of things that got me to this point, and so I'm really just thankful for all of it.
Now, Eli, like Adam said, we had Coach on yesterday, and I asked him the question about, you know, the last couple of years, in particular this season, and has he thought about, you know, the foundation that has been laid with this particular team and how this particular team may usher in more teams just like it. Have you thought about that? Like, you are a part of a foundation. You, Diego, other guys that have been here the last 2 years are a part of a foundation that seems to be solid and that, you know, teams moving forward can build on. Have you sat back and really thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's another blessing just to be able to be a part of a team like that. I mean, we talk about that as teammates sometimes, but we just look back on the season. We're like, man, this is surreal. Like, we are literally a part of a team that is doing things that have not been done in the history of this program. And, you know, it's just what an amazing opportunity it is for Vanderbilt. You know, Coach Lee has tried so hard since he's been here. He's had the same vision that he just wants to turn Vanderbilt into a winning football program. And it's those things are starting to come to fruition. And, you know, I'm really just so happy for him, because I as soon as I met him and was able to get to know him, I could tell how much he cares about his team, how much he cares about the university, how much he cares about the program. And for these things to start to come to fruition, I mean, I'm just really happy for him and his program, because, like you said, we laid a foundation this year, and now there's opportunity to continue to build on that.
Now, was there a turning point in this season, Eli? We're talking with Eli Stowers, Vanderbilt tight end, star tight end, let's say that. He's also a finalist for the Mackey Award, which is the top tight end in the country. But was there a moment in this season or a point in this season where you guys figured, you know, we're capable of competing and competing at a high level, and not just competing but winning this conference?
Man, this may be surprising to say, but mm-hmm. I think we believed that and believed it wholeheartedly before the season even started. You know, and I think that's what made this team so special, is the belief that we had in our team and what we could do. You know, at the beginning of the season, like during camp, during summer workouts, winter workouts, spring ball, all of that. You know, you talk to our team, like, and everybody knows about how Diego is and Coach Lee were talking about our team before the our season even started. Like, our goal is to win a national championship. And we believed that. Everybody in the program believed that before the season even started. So, I mean, I don't think that there was really, like, a specific turning point, or whether, you know, we beat a team that we were surprised to beat, because in reality we felt like we could go out and win every single game, and I think that's what led us to be successful.
Now, I just mentioned the Mackey Award, and I know you were trading all that, you know, finalists and everything else for an opportunity to be in the college football playoffs, but what does that mean to you, being that is such a prestigious award for tight ends, that you are a finalist?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just humbling. And like I said, like, this just makes me want to thank God mm-hmm. even more so every single day. I mean, you know, like you said, it was a weird, long journey that I went through in college to get to this point. And, you know, when I look back on it, I'm just so thankful for it, man. I mean, the coaches that I got placed around at New Mexico State, and also here, when I got here, that was when I was, like, still learning to be a tight end. So I got around my tight end coaches, Coach Flats and Coach Leepak, that coached me up to continue to grow in my game and truly learn the game from a tight end perspective. And I'm still learning to this day, but, you know, just to be recognized in that way, to be a finalist for that award, I mean, it's a blessing, and I'm just really thankful for it.
Vanderbilt tight end Eli Stowers has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingen and Donick. Eli, thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing when you and your teammates play next.
Yep, thank you.
615-737-1025, by the way. Mm-hmm. Soon to be Vanderbilt Commodore quarterback Jared Curtis. I just checked.
Yes.
Nashville Christian up 49-0.
Wow.
And the Division IIA championship, I saw a clip of Jared Curtis running for 47 yards.
Well, Vandy fans, that's something you can look forward to, that right there.
Yes, so Jared Curtis, of course, decommitting from Georgia, committing to Vanderbilt earlier this week, is leading his Nashville Christian team to a blowout in the state championship. I believe it's also only the second quarter. So we'll see how many points they can score. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on what you heard from Eli. We'll also continue the Titans conversation. Willie Donick will also join the program. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. If you are looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday, come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Browns. The pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky.
Cam, knowing you and Shador, I was not on the field at the same time, but in the same building. Does that add any extra juice, given how much you guys used to always compete every day?
Nah, I got to go against the Cleveland defense, so it's not really into that perspective. It's more of what can I do for, you know, my team to help us, you know, accomplish our goal in winning the game.
That was Cam Ward discussing Shador Sanders, his friend, his training partner. The two of them will go head-to-head on Sunday in Cleveland. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, Willie Donick has joined us. Hello, Willie.
Hello, gentlemen. Good to talk to you.
Willie, remember when we discovered that
website? I have to rub it in for 1 second.
Sure.
Guys.
Please don't do it.
For 1 second.
Okay, go ahead.
You guys got me?
Yes.
We really don't got you, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
80 degrees each side. Got the nice jog in at A1A, and I was thinking, the guys back in Nashville would love to see this. Boy, would they love to see this.
Just so you guys know, it's 36 and showering right now.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes, Willie. So, take that.
Willie, what I was going to ask you was, remember when we discovered that website where you can buy animal excrement to send to people?
Did you
send anything to Hunter Yurachek's house by chance?
I did not. See, I'm going to rise above. I'm going to be the bigger person.
Well, you know what?
Based
on you rubbing it in on the weather, you might have a box of animal excrement at your house when you get back.
What animal would you guys choose?
You'll have to find out.
Okay. There was a lot of options, as I recall, on that website.
We're going to make sure it's big and some hard to get up.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do me like that. Come on.
Willie, I do want to ask you.
Can I enjoy the beach one day? Pretty soon I'll be calling you guys from Edmonton and Calgary, and it's going to be 10 below, and you guys are going to be laughing.
We like the Edmonton, Willie. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Willie, I want to ask for your opinion on this because we talked about this at the top of the show. We discussed Vanderbilt's attempt to schedule a 13th game. We talked about it in the previous segment with Eli Stowers as well. Your thoughts on Clark Lee and Vanderbilt doing whatever it takes to try to convince the CFP committee that they're wrong?
Well, it's actually a tactic that's used in college baseball. And because in college baseball, invariably, you're going to get a rain out somewhere here or there. And I have seen Tim Corbin actually do that late in the season to get an extra game, either against just anybody, just to make up the game, but oftentimes to try to go find a really good opponent that's going to help your ratings, your RPI, your net, whatever metrics you have in baseball. So the concept is not new, really. I guess the logistics of a football game would have been a lot tougher because you have to play in Hawaii. Is that right?
Alaska or Hawaii.
Yeah. So you got Alaska.
Alaska or Hawaii. Yeah. Neither place is actually just around the corner. It's not easy to schedule a game that quick. But I can see the desperation, right? I mean, it's – but both teams would I can only imagine the discussions. Like, let's find a way to do this. We've got to do something. It's the only thing we can do.
Let's go to our friend Mark in Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Mark, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, man? What's up, Adam? D-Mace? Willie? How y'all doing, man?
We're great, Mark. How are you?
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Long time no hear from, a long time no answer the phone. I don't know which way to put it.
What you got for us, Mark?
Hey, y'all were talking about that matchup Sunday with Cam and Shador, and I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup for Cam, man. Like you said, Myles Garrett, premier defensive end in football, 19 sacks. I imagine you're going to have to double up on him, man, and try to neutralize him in some form or some capacity. I don't know how Cam's going to be able to handle that or if he even have time to even get rid of the ball, but he'll be under pressure all day, whatever, whatnot. And I'm going to say this, too, while I'm on here, man. It's a shame Vanderbilt got treated the way they got treated. Not moving up for consecutive weeks, they pretty much right where they were. I hope Diego Pavia wins the Heisman Trophy and whatever, whatnot, and gets to go on a trip to New York. But Adam, while I got you on here,
yes,
I hope you give Manny Diaz some respect, Adam, and go with Duke in that ACC championship game. Adam, you're a Duke alum. Come on, man.
You know I love maximum chaos. So Duke winning the ACC title would indeed bring maximum chaos to the CFP.
Oh, yeah, it definitely would. And D-Mace,
yes,
you, Big Joe, Chris Sanders, y'all get a fourth seat ready because Mark's coming over at Twin Peaks Sunday. I want a seat at the table. I'm bringing my lady friend, Big Sugar Free, with me. I want to have some fun at the table and talk about the Titans and make some fun for the show for y'all. So D-Mace, I hadn't had a chance to meet you. Willie, you need to come, too, because I want to meet you, too. I really do. I want to meet all y'all, but I want to get a seat at that table.
Man.
I need to get on the radio. I got plenty to talk about.
Well, so make sure to leave a seat for you and Miss Big Sugar Free.
Sugar Free, most definitely. That's right. But we'll be there. if the weather permits and nothing goes on, but D-Mace, I want to see you and stuff, man. It's time for me to meet D-Mace. Adam, I hope you're there. I want to meet all of y'all. So make room for Mark, number one caller from Nashville. Make some room for me.
Thank you for the call, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
VIP. We need VIP is in order here.
Yes, yes. By the way.
Hey, my man Mark, he ain't sugar-free?
Big sugar-free.
Big sugar-free.
Big sugar-free. Not just little, not little sugar-free. Big sugar-free.
Unfortunately, Mark, I know you're still listening, but unfortunately, Mark, I will not be there.
Nor will I, and Willie's on the road, so none of us will
weekend,
be there on
yes.
Sunday.
So, unfortunately, you're going to have to pick another weekend. The Titans got how many more home games? One or two?
Oh, God.
Who cares? I mean.
I think
I didn't mean to say it like that. I'm so sorry. It's one or two. So, Mark, whenever they have a home game, come to JBJ's, man.
Yes.
We'll be there, 9:30.
And by the way, Mike on our text line says, we have bull, horse, chicken, and dog scat on our farm if you need a package sent to Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Could I get a sampler? A little bull, a little horse, a little chicken, a little dog.
Whole flight.
We'll just leave it on Willie's doorstep for the next few days because he's not going to be home until Saturday night, Sunday.
It's going to get hard.
It's going to get cold. Yes. It's going to get hard. But that's what he deserves for pointing out that it's 40 degrees warmer in Florida than it
Absolutely.
Is in Nashville. So you get what you deserve.
My dog Clyde, he might enjoy, you know, some different scents like that. And maybe I don't know. Who knows what he might do with that?
Oh, boy. But
dogs like that.
He might add to it, Willie. You never know.
Here.
Well, yes, unfortunately.
Here's the one thing I do know about Sunday between the Titans and the Browns, and specifically Ward versus Sanders. The takes are going to be scorching hot.
Oh, yes.
They're going to be scorching hot. Even if Shedeur Sanders has a below-average game, and he's only played a few games, and so far he looks like a below-average quarterback. Even if Shedeur Sanders has a below-average game, but the Browns win, oh boy, I'm dreading the text line on Monday because the takes are going to be scorching hot.
Oh yeah, it's going to in the same category as the Xavier Restrepo-themed tweets, right? They're not real. But people are going to be trying to be that guy.
The fake love.
That has the funniest meme or the wittiest line. Like, everybody's going to be trying to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just trying to capture it, like, to get the clicks. They're going to go for it.
But it adds intrigue because Sanders is under a lot of pressure as well. Remember, Shedeur Sanders started the season, if you go back to training camp, as the fourth quarterback on the Browns depth chart. Remember when the Browns had Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco? And there's also Dylan Gabriel, of course. But this is an extended audition for Shedeur Sanders. We know the Cleveland Browns. They can't help themselves. He's the 42nd starting quarterback for the Browns since the franchise returned 25, 30-ish years ago. So if Shedeur Sanders, Willie, doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, then the Browns are going to be quarterback shopping all over again. So there's a lot of pressure on Sanders, not just in this game, but for the rest of the season too.
Yeah, and next year they have Jacksonville's first pick, so they're going to have a lot of stuff to do. They'll have a lot of flexibility on how they want to use all those assets. And so this is all you can say if you're Shedeur Sanders is you're going to get the crack. He's got the ball. He's got the opportunity. That's all you can ask for. So we'll see what he can do. I'm curious myself how it's going to look.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where
Derek, we weren't sure he was going to start. Right?
No, I mean,
we weren't sure he was going to get a shot.
No, the way it was going, it didn't seem like he was going to get a shot. But, you know, Gabriel ended up getting hurt. I think that's why he didn't play. He ended up getting hurt. Shedeur goes in there and he plays okay, and then gets another start, and now it seems like he's going to be the guy moving forward. It's just been, I'm sure Cleveland fans, they can talk about this story, you know, for many, many years to come, this whole quarterback issue that Cleveland has. But I look at it as an opportunity for Cam because, once again, when you're talking about going against defenses, I'm not sure, you know, quarterbacks over the last couple of years have gone against the top-notch defenses that Cam has gone against his rookie season. And he just needs to show that he's continuing to progress and develop as a player. Last game was horrible for everybody. You know, but this is an opportunity against a top-ranked defense. And I know a lot of people are going to make it about him and Shador, and rightfully so. I get it, because they're friends. They worked out together. And at one point, you know, it was being debated who was going to be number one pick, Shador or Cam or Jackson Dart. So that in itself is probably weird. But I think this is I think this is more about Cam's development against another top-ranked defense than Cam versus Shador, because it's not comparable. Cam is going against the number one or number two defense in the National Football League with the number one pass rusher in the National Football League. Shador is not going against that. He's going against a damn good Jeffrey Simmons, but that's it. You know, they got some good players, but they don't have anybody of the stature of Myles Garrett in that defense. So as much as, you know, we probably, and it will be, especially during the game, make it about Cam and Shador, but that's not even a story. It's not the story. Because if Shador goes out there and perform well and Cam doesn't, that's not a knock on Cam. He's going against the number two defense in the National Football League, and Shador is going against the middle of the road defense. They're improving, but they're not the defense that they thought they were going to be, and they're sure enough not the defense that Cleveland is.
It's amazing, Willie, to look at the – we've done this before, but I just pulled it up again. It's amazing to look at the caliber of defenses that the Titans have faced this season. If you're looking at expected points added per play allowed, the Titans have faced the number one defense, Houston, twice. They're about to play the number two defense, Cleveland. They've played the number three defense, Seattle. They've played the number four defense, the Rams. They've played the number five defense, the Broncos. They've played the number six defense, the Jaguars. They've played the number seven defense, the Patriots.
All while having a bad team.
They played the number seven defense, the Patriots. They played the number nine defense, the Chargers.
All while having a roster that isn't ready to compete yet. They got some young players.
That's murderer's row.
Exactly. So I think
you know what it reminds me of, D-Mace?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
It reminds me of a kid growing up that maybe his dad's a coach, mm-hmm. and he says, you know, I could put my kid with his own age group, and I could play him, and he'll dominate, mm-hmm. right? But let's put him up with the kids a year or two older than him and have him go through the rigors, right, and take a beating. That, mm-hmm. That's what you have to hope for, right? He's taking yes. His degree of difficulty is high. It's about as high as it could get based on that. And as you mentioned, he doesn't have a bunch of guys who, you know, who are really good around him. So you have to hope that he can get through the fire and come out better on the other side for it and not, you know, burn up. Because the option you have when you have your kid there is if it's not working, you can mm-hmm. then put him back with his own age group. You can't do that with Cam. You got to play the schedule.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans' upcoming matchup against Shador Sanders, Myles Garrett, and the Browns on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us. We'll talk Predators. We'll talk NHL. All that and more with our friend Elliot Freeman. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. This holiday season, 1025 The Game is looking out for the kiddos. We want to donate a bunch of stuffed toys to the Nashville Children's Alliance to be given to kids this holiday, but we can't do it without you. Join us at a Dunkin' location near your neighborhood the week of December 8th through 12th, that's next week, to drop off a stuffed toy that a child will love. Find the Dunkin' locations that are participating at thegamenashville.com/toy. We would also like to thank the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, and Relidyne.